Welcome to the Fanboy Strike Back Comic Review Podcast, episode 57.
Welcome to the Fanboys Strike Back Comic Review Podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm David.
And you heard him right at the start. We are the Fanboys Who Strike Back. We strike back against everything, including comics, TV, video games, most of the time. So, what we do, we go and pick up our comics, we read them, and we like to tell you what we thought of them. Do you care? Maybe. I don't know.
They care. They care.
I hope. I mean, they're downloading.
True.
So, what we do is we pick a book for each other that we tend, we normally wouldn't read. And we give our review of that book. We rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the best. And then we talk about what else struck us this week. And so I picked for David Superman, which was The Faces of Evil tie-in with Parasite. Mm-hmm. This is number 12 in the new 2009 Krypton story.
Ugh. Yeah, that's confusing.
Oh, it's like 1992 all over again,
isn't it? It really, really is. Like the death of Superman. This was actually interesting because I've been reading Superman because of the new Krypton story, and I wasn't going to pick this up originally, but then you picked it for me, so I decided to get it. I don't know. You know, I thought this was okay. I feel like It was kind of empty. The story was, we're following Parasite. Parasite, he was one of the villains that the Kryptonians threw into the negative zone. So Mon-El, who is the Daxamite, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, he's the same race that the new Ion is.
Right. So Mon-El is in the Phantom Zone. He pulls Parasite out to give him to Clark. But Parasite attacks Mon-El and kind of gets a taste for his energy and becomes obsessed with it. And I don't know. It just seemed like that part of the story was kind of empty. There was really good parts of it. Like when you see this from Parasite's point of view, and you see that he's basically like an addict. Like he gets a taste of Mon-El's power, and you see him kind of going through the motions and absorbing knowledge and absorbing powers from other people, but it's just like they're all like little quick fixes to get to like his what he really wants.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't really like the character, I thought that was a pretty good character examination because I never really thought of him like that before. It's almost pretty tragic. But overall, I thought that stuff was just kind of empty. It just didn't grab me. But the ending was really good. The ending, Clark leaves Earth, and he goes to New Krypton, which is on the other side of the sun now, and he talks to Allura, who is Kara's mother. And wow, she is just one of the most like hateful characters I've ever seen in comics. But the big shocker at the end is that they're having a parade for New Krypton and everything's being back, and you find out that just General Zod is back, and Allura has put him back into power of the military.
Yeah, she freed him. And there's this great the parade scene that you mentioned. There's this great parade, and it's very like when you watch the old newsreels of Nazi Germany or
yes.
Communist Russia when they marched the military might with the tanks and everything down the street, and that's exactly what's happening. It's a show of military power. And then you have a scene almost directly out of Attack of the Clones with Zod and his cronies up on the balcony watching over it. And I swear to God, it's like, dun, 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 dun. Which was kind of humorous, but at the same time, it was one of those, like, oh, shit moments. I was like, oh, crap. Like, Allura's got to go down.
I'm just and I like that, but I'm just kind of tired of, it just feels like General Zod is like the ending splash page all the time, you know what I mean? And maybe that's not the case, because we haven't seen, but maybe I'm just kind of I'm just kind of reeling from the whole Jim Lee, Brian Azzarello, Superman story where Zod returned. But I just feel like if they're going to...
That wasn't even the real Zod.
It wasn't the real Zod, and that's why I'm saying like maybe I'm disenfranchised from that. But if they're going to bring Zod back, just bring him back and have him stay, because I'm tired of him leaving and him coming back and it being a big deal and then leaving. So just make him somewhat consistent. That's I think that my point is.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember which issue it was, but it was a recent one. One of the Supermans, when they did the exact same thing. He was the last page reveal. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that issue in front of me. But one of the other things that I do like the Parasite stuff. I thought that was really an interesting aspect that he's like a junkie. But another thing that intrigued me, and I have no idea where it came from, and I have no idea where it's going, is the brief scene with Nightwing and Flamebird and Jay Garrick.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that.
Like they're asking for his assistance and something, don't know what it is. And Jay's like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll do what I can. And then... What, I don't know if it was a goof up in the art, but they swing off like Batman and Robin
they have
tables. They don't fly. I'm basically really intrigued about their story. I don't know anything about them, and I want more of it. So I'm eager for that portion of the story to be told. So
yeah, apparently they said that we know who these characters are. Like we've seen them before. They're not new characters. So I don't know who they could be.
You know, unless they were like Earth, like multiverse versions, but I don't know. This seems like a pretty mainline story. It doesn't seem like it's going to venture out that far into like the Elseworlds territory. But I don't know. Anything can happen, as we saw in the Brian Azzarello story.
Let's not speak of that.
Okay. So I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah, I guess I'd give the same thing too. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. It didn't grab me, but it wasn't bad. So I think it was just like it was a good book.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked for you Daredevil number 115, the end of the Lady Bullseye story. And I thought this was really good. So what did you think?
I liked it a lot. It kind of zigged when I thought it was going to zag, which I liked it, because what you had at first was you had Murdoch and you had Iron Fist and you had the, what's his name, the old ninja.
Master Izzo.
Yeah, and they kind of team up and you think, oh, they're gonna go kick some ass, and they do, but... What I like it is they isolate Daredevil, and there was a great moment where he's like, okay, I got my head in the game now. And Master Izzo calls him on it. It's like, okay, you know, get out, you know, knock it off. Quit doing the inner monologue thing and fight me. Which I enjoyed that. So then, you know, once he gets into it, and he realizes they're making him an offer. And basically it was to become the leader of them, of the hand. And I thought, ooh, well, now that's interesting. And I thought he was going to do it, actually.
Yeah, it was touch and go there.
You know, it was like that, you know, I haven't been reading that long, but I've heard about it on what I have read that, you know, he's had a pretty messed up life lately. And when they throw salvation out there in front of him like that, you know, it's, especially for him, it would be a pretty tempting offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of give him the means to forget about everything that's gone, you know, wrong this life. The situation with Mila, his friends always being in danger. And the big thing is that he doesn't really decline it. He kind of says no, and he kind of gets knocked out, but he doesn't actually say, I'm not going to do this. So...
I took it as he did decline it, though.
Well, he did, but even...
I mean, that was it. He wouldn't have...
Even afterwards, though, but he's talking about the stuff with Mila, and he's basically saying things that he doesn't really mean. Because he's saying in his head, he's like, you know, I want to let Mila go, and I should, but I'm not going to. But it's all for all the wrong reasons. Which is Brubaker having to deal with the fact that, you know, Mila was there, they were married, and, you know, that's not great for the character. But it was the same kind of thing because, you know, in Bendis' run, he took down the Kingpin and Murdoch made himself the Kingpin. So it's not that far off from something that he might do, because we all know that Matt is just self-destructive.
Yeah. I did like it, though, that he didn't make that choice, because, I mean, we've seen recently characters like Spider-Man who have, like, they have that temptation thrown out there. And even to another extent, several years back, Wally West did the same thing with Spectre. They have that opportunity to change everything to make it better.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. To take that get-out-of-jail-free card, you know, with the consequence. And for the first time in a while, we've seen a hero act like a hero and not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, finally someone did it. You know, or didn't do it, for that matter. But finally a hero made what I felt to be the heroic decision.
Yeah, I mean, we got some good things out of this. Going into the Lady Bullseye story, we weren't sure what was going to happen. But Lady Bullseye ended up being a pretty good character. I think a character that could be around for a while. And it's the fact that she has this kind of respect for Murdoch. And, I mean, her plan was to get him to lead them. So that brings, like, a whole new dynamic to everything. And, of course, it ends with them going to find the Kingpin.
Which I'm excited about that.
Yeah, because he's coming back. So that's always going to be good.
I said it before, but I love Michael Lark's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's exactly, like, this guy needs to draw Batman.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. he's fine at Daredevil.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 on my part. I really liked it.
Yeah, I'd do the same thing. I'd probably give about 8.5 just because... it's just because the book has kind of been suffering lately, and so it's great to see Daredevil back where it used to be. I hope it continues, but this was very good.
Well, let's talk about the big nut in the room.
Uh-oh.
Final Crisis number 7, final issue.
Right.
5 out of 10.
5 out of 10 from you.
I really wanted to give this series the benefit of the doubt until it finished, until it wrapped up. And what I thought was it was a series of really nice moments. It was a lot like if you weren't as maybe devoted to the X-Men as you are, and you went, but you're a comic book fan, and you went and saw X3, and you're like, okay, there's a lot of neat, flashy moments, but at the same time, it's like, that's just not a well-put-together story. I felt like there was just too much assumed reading. We said this last time with the last issue. There's too much that Grant Morrison assumes you're reading in other books.
Right.
And I think that's a big hindrance. It'd be one thing if this was a side story, like his Seven Soldiers, and this is covering the same stuff we said before, but this is a mainline book. This is... you know, this needs to be somewhat wieldy. And granted, Crisis on Infinite Earths and Infinite Crisis, going back and rereading those, I've done that since those series have come out again. And even Infinite Crisis suffers, which is the most straight line of all of them,
right,
even suffers from that a bit. Like, stuff happens off screen. And I forgot, like, when Kyle Rayner went from being Green Lantern to Ion, and that happens in a different story. But it happens so much in Final Crisis that... It took me 2 times to read this to really even, like, I was holding on for dear life, and I got the gist of it, but at the same time, there was just too much stuff that, the fact that it was being narrated from different points of view a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of problems with this book.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that the first, like, 10 pages or so, I enjoyed this series more than I've ever enjoyed it. Up until the point where the Flashes take down Darkseid. Because after that, it just got... Like, that was a story. Like, that was the first part... That was the first time in the series where we've seen, like a bulk of a story. It's not just, like, flashing around very quick everywhere. But then that's exactly what happened after that. Like, it seemed like... Which we kind of talked about... the end of last issue is we're going to see, you know, if the Flashes are important. And they were, but they weren't really... It didn't seem like what they did was even that important. Especially it warning Barry coming back. Because they take down Darkseid. The way they do it is really cool. But Darkseid still kind of survives after that. And then it goes into Superman making the Miracle Machine, whispering a note that's a special wish. A lot of convoluted stuff. I think, like, one of the things that a lot of people are saying are, everyone's kind of saying, like, the story was too much, but I want to give, you know, Grant Morrison credit for trying to cram, and, like this idea was so big. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, Kahuna Blair, who's one of the guys on the Quark's forum, he did a Twitter, and I think it kind of summed up everything. He's like, what if you had a good, like, start of a story, and then you had a great ending, but you told the middle of the story in the most convoluted way possible? Does that make a great story? And I feel like that's kind of what Final Crisis ended up being.
You know, there's just, I'm looking back through it, and going back to what you said about the Flash is how, you know, their big thing was to take down Darkseid, and in the end, it didn't really do anything. It stunned him to take him out of battle, but you had him basically being hit by his own Omega Beams, and then you also had Batman last issue who shot him with the God-killing bullet. And if he doesn't go down after all of that, like, what's the point? I mean, what's the point in Batman making his sacrifice if it doesn't work? What's the point in Barry Allen coming back if it doesn't work? Mm-hmm. In the end, you know, you see, like, Superman repairing the multiverse, which seemed to me a little bit like the end of Neverending Story. everything was basically screwed up and gone, and he makes, you know, he builds his wish machine and makes his wish and kind of comes back together. I don't know. Is that what you got out of it? Or?
Yeah. You're asking me what I got out of it?
Well, okay. let me just hit... I'm going to start picking out, but then you had, like, Captain Carrot show up. What the...
Well, and yeah, I think that was his thing about how he wanted to throw, you know, everyone in. And I think that's kind of a... That's, I think, something that DC fans enjoy more than everything. I mean, you go to, like, the DC panel like we did last year, and everyone's talking about obscure characters. Everyone loves Ambush Bug, like, stuff like Captain Carrot. So I think that's a fanboy thing, which is... I don't know. It just, some of it, it seems like it was forced, because obviously Captain Carrot didn't need to be there. But it's like, how can I make Captain Carrot be there?
He didn't have anything to do with it. It was just stupid. And what I said before about, like, how the spacing of these issues and the density of all these has made me forget what's happened in the last issue, I forgot all about that monitor who'd been cast out.
Now, see, this is a good point. Now,
and then all of a sudden there's that evil, the devil shows up, the devil monitor, and I'm like, who the f*** is this guy?
Now, okay, here's the thing that I found out. That's what all of this stuff, the Superman Final Crisis book ended up being crucial, because all the stuff with the monitors, all the stuff with that devil and everything, that all happened in the Superman book. And that's what I found out, because I didn't read it, because I was like, what's going on? Because one of the things I wanted to touch on was, at the very end, we find out that this is the Final Crisis for the monitors, and the monitors disappear. Now, two problems I have with that is, number one, they just brought the monitors back. But number two, we didn't see the actual monitor in this book since, like, the first issue. So I was like, what do the monitors have to do with it? We haven't even seen the monitors. And then someone told me, they're like, well, that's what the Superman book has been all about. And I was like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah, again, with the assumed reading. Like, if that was that important, either that climax should have happened in that book, and the Darkseid climax should have been the big finale in here. But instead, you had, like, a couple different endings, and then you had Bruce Wayne showing up at the beginning of time.
Right.
With Anthro. Anthro, we see Anthro as a very old man at this point, and he dies of old age. And Bruce Wayne is there, looks like he's kind of grizzled. You can't really see his face, but you see he's got a beard and some wispy hair, and he's drawn a bat on the wall. And, you know, I already don't like where this is going.
Well, I think, aside from the things that we've talked about, aside from it being convoluted, aside from there being too much, I think for me personally, the reason why I did not like Final Crisis, which is something that you touched on earlier, is that when you had the Crisis on Infinite Earths, they were main characters. You saw it from Superman, Earth 2, Superman, I mean Supergirl, Alexander Lee's there, Superboy Prime. Infinite Crisis, same kind of thing. Superboy Prime, Earth 2, Superman, Superman, blah, 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 even Nightwing to a certain extent. There was no, like, there weren't any true main characters in Final Crisis. And maybe that's due to the fact that there's too much, but, I mean, we had some Darkseid, we had some Dan Turpin, we have some Batman, we don't have Superman at all until the final issue, which ends up being a Superman issue.
Yeah, so, I kind of thought Barry was going to carry this, because in that preview issue,
it was all about him coming back. And like,
exactly.
Yeah, because he was talking about how he saw it coming. So I think that was the biggest problem, was that there wasn't anything or anyone for me to connect to kind of see the story through their eyes. And I think by the last issue, this issue number 7, this was a Superman issue. We kind of saw a lot of the stuff through Superman, but at this point it was just kind of too late. So I think that's, for me personally, that's where the story kind of fell off track.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, I kind of want to buy the... Maybe I'll just go back and reread the issues, but I'd like to read it again in one sitting, but I really don't.
I think you have to track down the Superman stuff, too, because I think that's... I mean, because coming from my point of view, I didn't read, kind of like we talked about last week, when I found out the stuff about those Batman issues, where... after RIP, he comes back. Like, I didn't read that. So apparently, the two Batman issues after RIP and the Superman Beyond story and Final Crisis, that all makes sense. Plus, the Legion of the Three Worlds stuff, you need to read that too, but that hasn't come out yet, because what happens in the Superman story is that he ends up going forward in the time, fights in the Legion of the Three Worlds story, and then he comes back, and that's when we see him. So...
Okay, we need to get out of this.
Alright, a book that I'm very, very excited to talk about is New Avengers number 49.
Yeah, this was awesome.
This was
flat out awesome.
This was like one of the best issues I've read in a long, long time. We finally see the end to the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, the baby, Secret Invasion, Jarvis Scroll storyline. And what we kind of saw at the end of last issue is that they're trying to hunt down Skrulls to find the baby. They're having no luck. So Luke, being a father who's lost his child, has no option and goes to Norman Osborn. So Norman kind of sets him up. They find the Jarvis Skrull, and they get the baby back, and everything's fine. But the question is like, what's Luke going to do now? Because Luke kind of said that he was going to be with Osborn. He was going... you don't know if he's going to join the Dark Avengers or what. And I was honestly worried, because even the cover shows Luke Cage going with Sentry and Ares, who are a member of the Dark Avengers. So he's talking to Jessica, and he's like... She's like, what are you going to do? And he's like, you know, I'm gonna take care of it. So he goes, and he gets the... what's it called? The crowbar from the Wrecker. And he comes in, and Bullseye is there, of course, in Avengers Mansion, eating cereal, and he just starts beating the crap out of everyone. Bullseye, who's just sitting there eating cereal, who's, like, being chummy.
Yeah, it was almost out of nowhere. It was just like, whoa.
Yep, and then takes Venom out in just another shot, and then throws it to Osborn, and he's just like, you know, I appreciate what you did, but if you think I'm going to work for you, you gotta be crazy. And talk about, like, your fist pumping, like, yelling out loud. I was like, oh, it was just perfect. It was spot on with the character. I mean, I can't say if I wish this was part of Secret Invasion. I mean, I feel like this would have made Secret Invasion a little bit better because of the fact that that storyline dangling was something that everyone kind of was missing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that, like, we got the story resolved now. It's not going to be something that's just drug out. But this was like a 9 out of 10. This was just so good.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed Luke just being like, you know, no, you're a murderer. I'm not, you know, I'm not going, you're crazy. I'm not working for you. It's like, kind of what we've been saying on the show is, like, how does this guy get in this position of power? And a lot of people just kind of glaze over it. But the hero community, you know, with Ms. Marvel in the last issue and now here, I've really enjoyed the hero's reactions, just like, you know, what the hell's wrong with this scenario? You know, there's definitely a defiance against him. And we saw that building even at the end too, when the new Avengers, which was that moment I wanted, in Dark Avengers, when they found out and they see everyone wearing their costumes and they're like, oh no, we're taking the fight to them.
Yeah. And that was another thing that was perfect, because of course this is going to be the status quo and this is going to be something that's going to happen for a while. But Clint sees the newscast and he's like, hell no. He's like, we're not going to let this happen. We're not going to wait for them to screw up. We're going to go take this to them. Which is It's not what we think. It would be like, okay, we're going to wait and they're going to screw up. But he's like, no, we're taking the fight to them. This is so good. Just so good.
Yeah. Another part I really enjoyed was the Jarvis Skrull handoff with the baby. And, like, you really got the sense of, like, this guy was just, he did something desperate because he had to get out. Like, he had to try anything that he could to get himself safely back home. Mm-hmm. And this was just his gambit. And then it didn't pay off. Like, you know, I don't know if this was planned out, but, you know, Luke was like, you know, I don't care what happens to you. Just give me back my baby. He's like, you know, I'm not going to arrest you. I'm not going to do anything. You're not going to be detained. Just give me back my baby. And then he does. And then Bullseye's, of course, like three buildings away and shoots him in the head.
Right, which I don't think Luke knew. I think that was a surprise.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I think that's part of the reason why he came back with a crowbar and beat the crap out of him. But it was a good issue. It was really good. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, this was Bendis doing what he does best.
Another book, Ultimate Spider-Man number 130, dealing with the ultimatum portion. I mean, I feel like Ultimatum 2 has already come out.
Yeah.
And we saw Spider-Man. Didn't we see Spider-Man with the Hulk in that one?
Yes.
Okay, I was just like, okay, I've seen this portion before. But I enjoyed, like, the first part of the story, which was Aunt May being drugged downtown for her association with Spider-Man. I like that, like, it seems real. Like, you can't just have, you know, Spider-Man coming in and out of your windows and not have the neighbors notice or something like that, and that portion felt very real. But then they quickly just got rid of that, and with the flood, the tidal wave hits, and we see what's left of New York afterwards.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the same way. Like, I feel like the stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Ultimatum was really good, like you were saying, the anime stuff. But as soon as it kind of got sucked into Ultimatum, that's where it kind of started to suffer. I will say that the splash page of Aunt May coming out and the tanker boat being right there in the street of Manhattan, that's a very impressive page. Like, very, very detailed. Like, I was shocked. I was like, wow, that looks real. Just, like, the kind of distress in the picture was... It was beautifully done. But I don't know. I mean, I think my problem with this book personally is that, like, I am so far not really digging Ultimatum.
Yeah, and it's really tied into that. So if you're not, you're really going to... I mean, you have nowhere else to go in this book, basically.
Right, you don't have a choice, which I don't know. It should be interesting to see what's going to happen, because even Bendis says that Ultimate Spider-Man is going to be... It's going to be different post-Ultimatum, like the rest of the books. Which is, I don't know, because Ultimate Spider-Man has always been so good. So hopefully it's not too different.
I don't know. The only other thing that I really liked about this book, aside from the artwork, which is always beautiful, I enjoyed his initial reactions after the wave hit, because he was almost in that state of panic that whenever there's a natural disaster, or, you know, whenever you live through really bad things and you see them on TV or they happen, you know, there's always, you know, what can I do? You know, there's, even when you can't really do anything or you can't do much, he had this kind of, this panic of, you know, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And that felt very real.
That did feel like he was kind of panicking. He saved a woman, drops her off, and she's like, what do I do now? And he's like, I don't know. And he kind of leaves. And it was very, very frantic, and you kind of felt that from Peter. And yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I would give it like, I guess I'd give it like a 6.5. It just, it wasn't, again, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And it's just too bad that it's being bogged down by the Ultimatum story.
Yeah, I'd give it a 7. I enjoyed it, I think, a little bit more, but Ultimatum hasn't taken that turn yet where I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
You know, so far I'm interested in it, and I like that it is racking up a body count.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely people dying.
So.
I just don't think Jeff Loeb should be writing it.
You know, he's a double-edged sword, and I recently went back and I read things that I love by Jeff Loeb, and his writing style has changed. There's definitely things I could pick out in it that I didn't enjoy, but there's also an accessibility about it that, at least in some stories, when you look at like the Color series, mm-hmm. and you look at like his Batman work and stuff like that, and his Superman work, there's definitely, you don't have to have a huge knowledge of the cast or anything like that. You just have to basically know the basics, and you can kind of pick them up and go.
No, I, you know, actually, that's funny because a friend of mine found out that I was into comics. I'm like, yeah, and she's like, I love comics, and I was like, okay, and I'm like, do you want some comics to read? And she's like, yeah, and I'm like, okay, and so I'm trying to kind of ask her what she liked, and she ended up telling me that she liked DC stuff. So the first thing I gave her was Batman Hush, because first of all, I think Jim Lee's art is striking, and that's automatically going to make someone appreciate what can be in comics. And that's a great story to kind of introduce you to Batman, because it has all the villains, and every time you see the villain for the first time, they kind of do a quick, short backstory on the villain. So I have like a lot of respect for Jeff Loeb. I just feel like he hasn't been part of the Ultimate Universe. I mean, yeah. Millar has been there since the beginning. Bendis has been there since the beginning. You should have someone like that do Ultimatum, not someone like Jeff Loeb, who's done the Ultimates, which was not good.
Yeah, I feel like it's become very trendy to bash on him. He does have his faults as a writer, but I feel like he works best when he gets to play in his own sandbox. When he's tossed into the normal, like let's say the normal Marvel continuity, like with Fallen Son. I didn't think Fallen Son was that bad.
Oh, I thought Fallen Son was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for the most part. There was a few missteps, but overall, I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't, but you're right. When you look at like Ultimates 3, oh god, I feel like he's at that time, he's having to adhere to a world that already has the rules set up for it.
Yeah.
And when you look at his the Color series,
exactly.
It's a world that it already has the rules set up for it, but at the same time, he gets to do his own thing. If you notice, they're all really early in those characters' development, and so there's less restrictions on what you can do with that character.
Right.
I feel there's more territory to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like he's become hit or miss, but that doesn't to me take away the good stuff he's done. Like I said, I still really liked Fallen Son. I liked the Color series. I'm definitely gonna get Captain America White. I will still, you know, there are certain writers and certain artists who I'm not even going to touch a book if I know that they're a part of it. And Jeff Loeb is not that for me, and I don't think he'll ever be that for me, but it is kind of frustrating because I know that like how good his stuff can be, so it's just kind of it's frustrating when it's just not, you know, up to par like it normally is.
Yeah, yeah.
So exactly. I don't know. Alright, last book I want to talk about is JSA number 23, The Return of Black Adam. You know, I have to say I was kind of let down by this issue. I'm not sure why. I feel like, because who, Dan Jurgens did this with Jeff Johns?
No, Jerry Ordway.
Jerry
which
Ordway.
Which is another Superman artist.
Right, Jerry Ordway. I thought this was good. I feel like maybe I've been on my JSA high for the past year with the GOG story, and this one was just, like, the epilogue to the GOG story, people kind of moving on, them kind of getting rid of characters, which was kind of sad to see. And also, I felt like while Black Adam was in this, it just, I can't explain it, but I didn't feel like it didn't seem like it was the Black Adam that has the normal, like, demanding presence that he normally has. And yeah, maybe that was just me, but that I can't even really put my finger on it, but it just kind of felt like there's something missing here.
I'll agree. I did not enjoy the Jerry Ordway art. To me, it does feel very dated, and it feels I don't know, like he's out of practice, I guess. I mean, I know he's been drawing a little bit, but I don't know. It wasn't to the caliber of, like, what this book has been at, so I felt it was a drop in quality. There were scenes when Felix Foss, when Black Adam finds out he's had control of his wife, I thought he'd just kill him right out, you know, not even give him a chance.
Right.
As soon as he got control of his wife back, but instead he might have wished he was dead.
That was really messed up too, because it seemed like what Faust was controlling her, and what was he doing? Like, kind of alluded to the fact that what he was just controlling her, controlling her.
It never flat out comes to that, but or it says what was happening, but
yeah, that I was like, I don't know what's going on, but if that's what's going on, this is really, really messed up.
Yeah, so I didn't enjoy that scene. Another thing, like, I didn't know, no one knew that Captain Marvel was Billy Batson. Like, the JSA didn't know that by now. I was really surprised by that. And I've never been a big Captain Marvel fan, so that whole portion of it, I was just like, I could kind of care less.
See, that's what I really liked. I've become a huge Captain Marvel and the Marvel family, fan, except for Mary Marvel, who,
Well, and that's the thing, is we saw her, she gave back her, or she was stopped finally, and she was like, I can never say the word again. I can never, you know, I'll never do it again. And
but she was on this.
In the very end, it looks like, you know, she's back to be an evil, you just see the back of her. It could be someone else, but
yeah.
It's teased that it's her. So I was just like, I'm really tired of her being a foil.
I'm tired of the Marvel family not having their own book.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I understand you're okay. I'm just, like, I'm tired of, like, tastes of the Marvel family. Like, it seems like they'll show up and then something will happen and be like, okay, we'll see them for a while until we need something. Like, it seems like if there's anything that has to do with magic, then we have to bring in the Marvel family. Like, I really like the idea of Captain Marvel. I like the idea of Billy being the wizard now. But we don't ever, I mean, that happened in Infinite Crisis. And we've only seen, we've had one miniseries and then just short glimpses since then. But I thought the battle between Billy and Adam was really cool. And the idea that Billy's a wizard now and he still has to get comfortable with that role. But I don't know, like, I feel like it's one of those things that happened but was never really addressed. So, I don't know. Just like you, I didn't know that the JSA didn't know who he was. So I was like, I don't understand what the big deal is with that. But I guess, I don't know. The whole thing kind of is messed up, that there's this young, basically homeless boy walking around, and he's a superhero, and he has to deal with stuff that he shouldn't have to deal with.
He's not homeless. He has, like, those adopted parents. But at the same time, I think they're a good miniseries group of characters. I don't think they're strong enough to support their own book.
I disagree.
I've never had any interest beyond when Black Adam showed up in 52 and JSA, and only lately has he become an interesting character for me. But the rest of them, even being ambivalent is a strong word for me. They're kind of like the Hulk. I just have absolutely no interest, and every time I read it, just...
I'm going to make you read The Trials of Shazam, and that will change your mind. It will change your mind. Mark my words.
I'll make you read The Crow. How about that? Change your life.
So I would guess I would give it just the same thing. I would kind of give it like a 6.5. It was, I don't know. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was a very mediocre issue. I'd give it like a 5.5. So, yeah, there's a pretty good group of books this week. What we wanted to talk about, first of all, we're gonna eventually get around to Heroes. Unfortunately, I don't have my cable set up yet for my new place, and so we'll be discussing that in the upcoming weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's 2009. We got a lot of big events coming up this year, and we want to talk about a few of them that we're both really excited, or that each of us are excited about.
Yep.
First off, I want to start off, I have two I wanted to discuss, and the first one is, they're both Geoff Johns things, because he's going to own 2009 like he has last year, but The Blackest Night.
Oh, yeah.
I am really, really excited for the story, because, I've got Green Lantern Rebirth on my bookshelf, and I love that, and I'm waiting for Sinestro Corps to maybe come out like an Absolute or something. But I love that story, and I think everything Green Lantern after Sinestro Corps War has been at an amazing quality. Both that book and Peter Tomasi writing the GLC book.
Yep.
And so to see what's going to happen and have this big kind of Return of the Jedi finish to this trilogy, I'm bursting. And here I'm going to gripe, because I'm required by my bookstore to buy the Previews magazine that comes out. And
what?
Usually I don't.
Are you kidding me?
That's part of having a pull box, is they make you buy it.
Oh, that's horrible.
It is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But usually I won't look at the books, but I am.
Oh, don't you spoil anything for me.
I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, I had something spoiled for me, and I looked at the toys. So I like that portion.
Oh, did you have some of the Black Lantern spoiled for you?
God damn it, they go!
don't say it, because I don't want to know.
I'm not, but I was so mad. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I heard, just the same thing. I was on Twitter, and I think Clock was doing the same thing. He's like, I found out who some of the Black Lanterns are. Here's a link. And I was like, I'm not going to that leak. I do not want to know.
I was going to write a strongly worded letter. I was so mad.
Okay.
But I'm really excited for that event.
And the second Geoff Johns would be, I'm guessing, Flash Rebirth?
Flash Rebirth. Much like Green Lantern Rebirth, I had ambivalent feelings when I first heard about it, because I really liked the character Wally West, much like I liked the character Kyle Rayner. Mm-hmm. But I was amazed with what they were able to do bringing back Hal Jordan, and the way they've integrated him back, and just how many like moments there were when I was just like, yes, you know, when you threw your fist in the air and you're like, this is just damn good comic booking. And I think we're going to get, you know, it's the same team, Ethan Van Sciver's art. You haven't seen too much of it lately, because I think he's been kind of holed up working on this book. It's I feel like he's kind of like DC's Steve McNiven. It's kind of super detailed. Yeah. So, you know, realistic, and it takes a long time to do. That's fine,
because yeah, I won't. He can take his time.
I want the story to have, you know, the same artist all the way through, and just that one teaser image, it's just like, it's so powerful. And I feel like the Flash has languished for such a long time now, and they haven't really had any clear idea of what to do with him. And you know, Geoff Johns, true to what he does, he comes in and he saves the character.
Yeah, the Flash hasn't been what it's been since Geoff Johns left the book.
Yeah, so, I mean, I am bursting to see. And, you know, it's not that I don't have any, I have anything against Barry Allen, because I did end up coming to really enjoy him from The New Frontier. And I think that character has potential to not be the corny Silver Age stereotype that he's sometimes portrayed in. We also saw that in Identity Crisis. I thought Brad Meltzer did an excellent job of his portrayal of Barry Allen in Identity Crisis, too, as a man who does have a very rigid moral compass and has to really, you know, it takes a lot for him to bend on that, but he does on occasion. And, you know, that's going back to right before he died, he killed a villain, and he was on trial for that. And so when he thought this villain killed Iris. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential to that character, and I think, you know, he's a cornerstone of the DCU. it'll be interesting to have him back. I'm not saying, you know, Wally West has to go away, because Kyle Rayner's still around. I enjoy where Kyle's at, so I'm eager. I'm just really eager to start with that book.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to really say anything, because, you know, I am just as excited as you are about those two things. One thing that I'm very, very, very looking forward to, which I know you are too, is April 4th and 5th, the Emerald City Comic Con up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna make the trip yet again, and I've been getting really like itching for it lately. Like I keep on going to the website every day and seeing all the new talent's gonna be there, and it's just. I just can't wait. My 15-year-old sister-in-law is very excited to go. She didn't even have to ask her. She just came up and she's like, I really want to go to the comic convention with you this year. And I was like, okay, that is not a problem. So definitely sign up for that. Blackest Night, Flash Rebirth. You know, and... I am excited about these, and we'll see. But I'm excited about G.I. Joe and Transformers 2 coming out this summer. We got the trailer at the Super Bowl. Transformers 2 looks like more of the same. Looks like a good popcorn movie. Looks like a lot of action, good time. G.I. Joe, the trailer doesn't look very good. It looks like there's a lot of CG, CG is fine, but if you have CG humans jumping around, that's where it gets a little bit much. But I'm still excited about it. Like, I'll still go to see it just because of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I got really excited. I got teased at my Super Bowl party because I was so excited. It's like, G.I. Joe! But, you know, I'm not expecting it to be... you know, anything that's going to blow my mind, but I think I'm going to have a lot of fun watching it.
A lot of fun. Like, they're going to be great popcorn summer movies.
Exactly.
I'm also excited about, there's some good games coming out this year. Killzone 2 comes out for the PS3 at the end of this month. The long-awaited Street Fighter 4 comes out in actually just a couple of weeks. I'm a huge fighting fan. So I salivate when I see this game. Like, I cannot wait to get my hands on this game.
Really? There's a lot of coverage for it everywhere.
It really is everywhere. So I hope it has a lot to live up to. So here's hoping, but from everything I've seen, it looks beautiful. Resident Evil 5 comes out in March, and Resident Evil 4 was one of the best games I've ever played in my entire life. But, the big one, the big daddy, Final Fantasy 13 is going to come out later this year. And
that's where we don't see David for a few months.
That is when this podcast might not be coming out. I might not be getting comics because I may not leave my apartment for a while. But I haven't had, like, the Final Fantasy games are my thing. And I haven't had a good fix since Final Fantasy X came out. And that was good. Jeez, that was... 2002, maybe 2001.
Yeah.
So this game, it looks amazing. They just released a gameplay trailer, and it looks phenomenal. Just spectacular. I cannot wait for this game. Cannot wait. So that may be one of the biggest things I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I'm not even a big gamer, and of course, I'm looking forward to the Ghostbusters game a lot. I think that looks really good. Also, the Batman Arkham Asylum game, I'm really hoping that's good.
It looks, I mean, Batman games aren't ever good, but this one at least has some source material and some depth to it.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed the, the two animated series games that they made for the GameCube.
Those were good.
More of a third-person action game, and the other one was just a straight-up arcade, like a throwback game, like an old brawler, because you could select four different characters, and it, you know, it was very much an old arcade type of vein of game, and so but yeah, this looks like a different beast altogether, and it, you know, oh, come on, let's have a good Batman game. It looks really moody and really dark, and I'm excited for it. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it does look dark and it does look gritty. It does look it looks like they're putting more work into it than there's ever been for a Batman game, so that should be a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something that you just told me about that got me really excited is that there's going to be a sequel to the Legacy of the Force books that we just finished.
Yes, this was the only thing that paid off in my previous magazine.
Yeah, because we haven't even actually talked about this. You sent me a text message saying that there's going to be a sequel, but I don't even know what it's really about, so let me know.
Yeah, what we've got is we had the Legacy of the Force series, which wrapped up the Jason and Jaina Solo storyline, and then there's going to be an intermediate book coming out in a couple months that focuses on the Zek character, who was a kind of a boyfriend or a lover to Jaina Solo for a while, and he's a Jedi, and it's going to mainly focus on him, but it's going to take place after the Legacy books. And then what we're going to have is we're going to have a new, they didn't say how many books it's going to encompass, but it's a new Jedi of the New Order storyline post-Legacy series. And so, I can't get enough of those characters, and I really want to know the aftermath of what happened.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. That sounds like that would, my wife found out about that. She's like, are you serious? You're going to be ignoring me and reading those books again? And I'm just like, hey, I have no self-control. I'm sorry. I love you, though. I do love you.
Come on, baby.
So, yeah, it looks like 09 is going to be a pretty good year. I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff that we're also forgetting, but some good stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to tell us what you're excited about this year, you can head over to our forums, which you can find a link to at www.fanboystrikeback.blogspot.com, where we have a link to our forums, and you can post there, as well as post on various different topics about the show, or just TV shows that we have set up, or video games, or whatever topics we have. We'd love to hear from you on there. You can also, if you have any questions for us, you can email us at contact@fanboystrikeback.com, and you can also find us on many podcatchers out there.
Yep, iTunes, Podcast Alley. If you like the show, please leave us a review. It really helps us out, lets more people hear the show. And you can also call us on our voicemail, 206-350-2354. You can ask us a question, make a comment, anything. We'll play it on the show. And like Eric said, you can come on to the forum and just talk about anything there. We have threads for the weekly comics that we're going to pull and read. We have threads for TV, for movies, pretty much everything. And one thing I have to throw out that I'm just remembering now is that this year is the final year of Battlestar Galactica, which I talked about, I think, last episode. But the last episode that came out last Friday, one of the best hours of TV I have ever experienced. It was amazing. And, like, it came off in the end was a shocker. I don't think I've ever, like, got up and, like, yelled at the TV so much. It was so good. So good. So I am very excited about this show ending, and I hope that it lives up to it, because it has a lot to live up. But that last episode, oof, so good.
Oh, man, I can't wait to have cable again.
So yeah, so that's good. We also have to mention InStock Trades, InStockTrade.com. They sponsor the show, which is great. So if you go to InStock Trades, you can find almost any trade out there. Very, very cheap. Actually, I just ordered the first book of the Age of Apocalypse X-Men trade, because Eric and I were talking about it, and it's normally like $30. I got it from InStock Trades for like $18. So
yeah, it's
great website.
Good for birthdays and everything like that. So so that does it for us this week. So we'll be back next week. Hopefully we can maybe talk about some TV shows if my cable guy ever shows up.
You're gonna be like Seinfeld, just sitting there waiting for him.
It's my cable boy. So thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next week.